to Random Gaming Talk. It's Entertainment Talk's podcast for video games. I'm your host, Matthew. Joining me today, my co-host is Robert. How's it going?
It's going good. It's really warm over here. The last few days have been either at or near 35°C a week, and we're supposed to get rained on for the next 3 days. So
Oh.
the hell days of summer have showed up early.
I see. Again, I always like to explain why we miss a week. Basically, we were having our bathroom done, and it was just a bit hectic and a bit much, and I didn't have much energy at the end of each day. That's basically done now. They do have to come and inspect it or review it, see what work the people did, but everything in there's working. And but by my standards, which I don't know how high they are, it's going all right. So, I kind of managed to unintentionally take like a week off of podcasting. So I feel like kind of like oddly slightly rusty, which can happen from time to time. But it's good to settle back in with a nice gaming talk. So what have you been playing?
Well, I put the finish mark on Expedition 33, and I really truly have mixed feelings about that. On the one hand, I'm very happy I got to play it. It's an amazing game. It's currently on sale for the Steam Summer Game Fest in most areas. So it was a cheap game to begin with, so it's not a deep, deep sale. It was 50 to start, and it's 10% off, at least here in the States. And yeah, it's been a really long time since I've played a game that had an actual story ending, and then I've gotten to that ending. 'Cause I play a lot of, city builders, base builders, games like that that pretty much have no end. And then to play a game with just an absolute gut punch of a gut punch after gut punch after gut punch story. Like, and the music is just absolute top tier. And there's a dirty little secret. Generally, I mute music in most of the games I play. This, I actually turned it up. But at the same time, I could technically continue it, but New Game Plus basically turns it into Dark Souls, which is not really my style of game.
I see.
So, giant bosses, weird stuff. There's a mini boss that you fight that you can't damage, you can't hit, but you have to dodge his attack 157 times. That's not a typo, that's not a joke.
So what happens after
And
you dodge them that many times?
he explodes.
Okay, that's
And
interesting.
the crazy thing is that it starts at 3 and plus 1 every round. So his first round he'll do 3 attacks, next round 4, next round 5, and so on and so on. And the character design, I can't really go into the character design because it's spoiler. And there's two endings. There's one that I call the canon ending because it fits what the story was leading up to. And then there's the alternate ending, which I call the movie ending, but I can't reference what movie it's referencing when it ends, because it's a spoiler. It'll spoil the ending, absolutely, 1000%. And then the devs just had so much fun throwing in insane references. You go into one area, and there's two memes in that one area. One is the "This is fine," where it has a character just sitting and flames all around him. It's the dog on the table. "This is fine. Everything's fine." And then there's another area where there's a collectible, but you can't get the collectible because there's a giant, fat, totally not a Snorlax sleeping, blocking the entrance.
I see. It's interesting to me how many times I've heard about this game, like just in conversations. Obviously, you've brought it up, what, three, four times or whatever, and how little I still know about it. Because even though everything you've just said to me, I don't know what any of it means, which I guess is a really good thing.
Well, that's because nobody really wants to spoil it. I mean,
That's good. That's a very good thing.
the trailer, the release, the announcement trailer from last year actually spoils the transition between the prologue and Act One, but it was done in such a way that everybody forgot about it.
Yeah.
And then you go from prologue to Act One, and the story just smacks you in the face. And then you go from Act One to Act Two, and the story just kicks you in the dangly bits, and then it doesn't get any kinder from there.
I see. I see. Well,
There's actually streamer reactions on YouTube, and people are just flat out crying over some of these story reveals.
I've usually said it's a good thing because then it means that, like, if there's a character that you even mildly care about or are bummed out by that they've died, and you go, oh, okay, whatever, then to me, the thing that you're watching or playing hasn't really done its job. So, because I know even, to bring up Last of Us and that, where people are like, oh my God, that, those things that happen are so devastating and so sad, but you're supposed to be impacted by those things. So, and you can apply that logic to a lot of popular, different shows, films, and games or whatever. So yeah, Saya, it's not nice necessarily, but it's supposed to be impactful, I suppose. But one day I'll play Expedition 33, and then I'll know more about what's going on. So.
It is on Game Pass, so.
Nice, nice. I think it is in my rental list. I've just hasn't been. Let me double check that actually. If it is, I think it is, in my rentals list because I queued up for that. Because I think I remember last time saying c because I just came away from FF7 Rebirth. Man, my phone is not working properly today. Because I came away from that, I didn't really want to go from one great big JRPG into or RPG into another one, so I kind of put it off for a moment. I know I needed a new phone, but damn. All right, it's
Yeah,
working.
mine's ready for replacement. I just haven't done it yet. I'm being lazy.
Oh yes, it is in my list. All of my games are on long wait. It's kind of annoying, but we'll see what happens. On stuff I've been playing, I haven't been playing that much. I've been playing a good chunk of COD with some people and things like that. And what else did I play? I did try today some of Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. It's not really clicked with me yet. I'm very early on, but I don't quite know. Not that there's something wrong with it, but I was like playing it for a bit, and I was like, okay, do I actually? And it might be a case where I go and play two different games and come back to that, and it can be a mood thing sometimes. I think because maybe like Death Stranding's on the horizon, or Death Stranding 2, so I'm maybe more sort of ready for that or something. And then I kind of looked on, because there's a site called How Long to Beat, which is where people submit times for like how long it took them to do games in different ways. And it said 53 hours. And I was like, oh, do I want to that? And that just said for main quest, which isn't just usually when you see that for a game like that, that isn't kind of just, hey, just go from A to B, because you will have to do some side stuff. So I don't know. I kind of hit the brakes on that a little bit. And I'll see if
Did you
I'm.
get into any of the melee combat? So you see what I mean about it being really, really unique and kind of hard to get your head around.
Yeah, I kind of do. That wasn't one of my problems with it per se. It just wasn't clicking. I don't know. Maybe it's just I don't know what it was. Again,
Yeah,
maybe.
some games just don't click.
But for me, it could be like maybe I'm sitting here playing the game in 2 months or 2 weeks or something. I don't know. So I think I'm kind of more in the mood for Death Stranding because I've been hearing about it this week and hearing that it's like improved on the first. And I've seen a bunch of like clips and gameplay and stuff, and like the cast is fantastic in there. I think I'm just a bit more ready for that than, because obviously, you look at Death Stranding 2 and Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, very different games. Very, very different games. So, because maybe I've kind of lost my ability a little bit to just, oh yeah, I'll just jump from this game to this game, even though something's very different. But I think I'm just a bit more eager to play Death Stranding 2 at the moment. So, what else have I been playing? What was the other thing? I spoke about Assassin's Creed before, didn't I? I spoke about, what was the other game I tried out slightly? I can't remember what it was. Anyway, that was probably in the last podcast or so. I think I played a bit more No Return of Last of Us because I was trying to play as, I unlocked all the characters. I think I said that last time, but I hadn't played as all of them yet. So I tried Marlena for a bit, and she was all right. So yeah, but I'm just kind of waiting for Death Stranding 2 next, I suppose. I'm also surprised, by the way, because I'm still curious about Mind's Eye. And obviously that's been, trashed here, there and everywhere, and they've apologized and, all those usual shenanigans. That's still on a long wait after like a week. I would have thought if that game was like as bad as it looks, and it does look just, not cooked properly, let's say, that people would have returned that very fast. But that doesn't seem to have happened either. So it's kind of
Second game
interesting.
this year that Sony's issued refunds.
What was the first
And it
one?
hasn't been a mass refund, but Sony is issuing refunds
What
for
was
that game.
the first one?
Concord.
Was that this year?
I think.
I don't know.
Could have swore it was this
That
year.
feels like that game was about 5 years ago. So
Yeah.
yeah, it might either like end of last year or very early this. Either it was so early this year in like January, February or something that it's just
No,
escaped my mind.
August last year.
Okay, that sounds
So,
yeah.
fiscal year, technically.
Yeah, I suppose. Anyway, that's what we've been playing and stuff, and let's get into some housekeeping, and we'll see you for that in a minute. Hi there. If you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there. If you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for two episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch two episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. All right, recently on Entertainment Talk, of course, we've been putting out, let's call them fresh versions of our Breaking Bad podcast. We're fully in the swing of that now. I've got them all scheduled for season three. I didn't want to just dump all 13 episodes from season three on the site because that's not a good idea. So I'm putting those out weekly on Wednesdays, and the scheduling seems to be working, which is good. So that's up to season three, episode six, if you want to follow along with that, because basically by the time we finish putting those out, that goes up to episode 13, we'll be coming back shortly after whenever that is to cover season four. So if you want to kind of like catch up with that a bit, of course I recommend the show anyway. Catch up with that now is kind of your chance to do that before we come back for season four in, I think we're doing that in September at some point. So look out for all of that. Some reviews I did manage to put out, and some of these were scheduled, and now I said I just took a week off, but some of these were scheduled, is a strong must-see review for Win or Lose, which is Pixar's newest TV series. They've got two TV series that they've put out. Both of them were kind of limited series. The other one was Dream Productions, which is like a spin-off from Inside Out 2. But yeah, really, really enjoyed Win or Lose from Pixar. That's a limited series as well, and it does. But both of those shows wrap up both of their stories pretty well, so I thoroughly enjoyed that. Over on The Last of Us, Last of Us 2 turned 5 as of June 19th, 2025. Of course, it was released June 19th, 2020 on the PlayStation 4, and so I had some stuff to say about that. I thought it'd be good to do that for the 5th anniversary. It's kind of like a big checkpoint, so I talked about the game again, plus some new thoughts, because, you know, Season 2's come and gone, and all that sort of stuff, so talked about all of that. Got some more Breaking Bad podcasts. And then, of course, on the other side, The Last of Us, so the first one, turned 12, already 12 years old as of this year. That's for June 14th, 2013. So, of course, 12 years later. The ending of which is still being debated by many, many people. And I talked about, you know, the importance of the game and all that sort of thing, especially with my recent Naughty Dog journey and all that kind of stuff. So you can check that out. Over on the United cast, of course, the season is wrapped up, but I had two more episodes to do. One is a who should stay, who should go. I've not actually done that for a bit. That's basically going through the current squad of players that we do have and choosing whether I think certain players should stay and whether I think the club wants to get rid of them, because those can be two different things. So I talked all about that. That was interesting to do. So that will be the last United cast podcast until August, when the season returns, and hopefully we sign more than one player, because we're in trouble right now. Anyway, that's that. Over on the superheroes thing, DC, another DC Talk episode. This was for the Superman preview. Of course, it's getting Superman himself is being rebooted, as well as all the surrounding characters and the DC Universe itself. Hence called the that's what DC Universe D DCU, yeah, for the DCU. So of course, next month, James Gunn's written and directed Superman film comes out. And we have a bunch of trailers, so there's a bunch to talk about, and talked all about that. So for a preview for there, more Breaking Bad podcast. Over on Gaming Talk from a couple of weeks ago, of course, we had a massive podcast anyway, so you still had plenty to listen to for there. We talked about the three big sort of showcases or whatever this year, which was PlayStation's State of Play, Xbox's Showcase, and Summer Games Fest. So we talked about a bunch of announcements from there. Over on the film review side of things, did a strong must-see review for Sinners. Really, really enjoyed that. That was absolutely fantastic. And that's what we've been doing recently on entertainment.talk.org and on podcast platforms. Just two little updates as well. I didn't, because of various different reasons, get out to see either 28 Years Later or Elio. Which is two films that I can't wait to see. So hopefully going to be seeing those this week. That won't be, I mean, it's Friday tomorrow anyway. Hopefully seeing those over the weekend. But you'll know when I've seen them, because the review will be out shortly after. And then Ironheart actually has all the rest of its episodes next week, so I'll be taking a look. I haven't started that yet, but I think that's got three episodes this week, three episodes next week, so I'll probably do a podcast or something for that show next week as well. And of course, more Gaming Talk, and some other stuff in the future as well. Anyway, that's what we've been doing recently on entertainmenttalk, .org and on podcast platforms. Let's get in some news. All right, speaking of superheroes as well, of course, a couple of weeks ago, I think it was the one before the Great Big Showcase episode that we did, we talked about the Black Panther game that was cancelled, that nobody seemed to remember was in development. But moving past that particular detail, of course, as things tend to happen, information comes out after something gets, cancelled or whatever. And with a few little tidbits of information about this Black Panther game. Remember, it's important to remember this is not the Skydance Amy Hennig game, which was the, is it called Rise of Hydra? The one that's got Captain America in it. That's not this game. This is one from EA from a studio called Cliffhanger, who also got closed at the same time this game got cancelled. Anyway, just to make it clear which game we're talking about. So new details on the cancelled Black Panther game. It says T'Challa, Killmonger, and Shuri were all playable characters, all vying, I think that says, for the Black Panther mantle. The main villains were going to be Skrulls, of course, as we've seen them in the MCU, which they were going to be invading Wakanda, which is, of course, their main base, their main place of operations. And there was going to be a new system inspired is an interesting word to use here, inspired by the Nemesis system was being built for the game. Those are the three tidbits we've got. There is an attached article over on Bloomberg if you want to go over and read that, because they're known for doing big news pieces. How are these three things? Okay, the Skrulls invading would be quite cool, would be interesting to see like how that would work into the gameplay. Of course, we're never gonna know how this plays. Now, maybe, in a week or 6 months or 10 years or at some random undetermined point in the future, maybe we see some leaked gameplay or something, right? So I was gonna say we'll never know what this looks like, but we might, things happen in the industry, things get leaked and might not even be a case of leaked gameplay necessarily. It might be someone releases it somewhere, or something happens. You never know in this industry, right? So the idea in this of like, okay, so T'Challa, Killmonger, and Shuri, which are like three main Black Panther characters, we're all vying for the Black Panther mantle. I find that interesting because that makes me wonder, okay, when you start this game, who is named as Black Panther? Like, is it somebody else that isn't one of them three, and there's a sort of like next in line for the throne kind of thing?
Probably T'Chaka's father, just
Maybe,
follow
yeah.
along the line of Civil War, kill him off, and there's a power vacuum.
Yeah, could do something like that. But I just find it curious that, like, not that I'm moaning about it, and again, we won't see this game, but that's curious to know that kind of when you start this game, maybe somebody that you aren't playing as is Black Panther, but then you can still kind of run around and do your thing. So I imagine the three of them would have played differently as well, the three different characters there who we've seen in the films. The main villains being the Skrulls, that would be interesting in a way of because you wouldn't know who's who and that kind of thing. I wonder if that would have even fed into like what you just brought up. Let's say if the Black Panther gets like killed at the start of the game or something, but it's a trick because of Skrulls, or maybe you could do something like that. There's like an invasion or something. So that would be interesting. And then something that you've touted about a lot of times with this Nemesis system, which was in the Shadow, the Lord of the Rings games. A lot of people said, it should have been in the Batman games and all this kind of stuff. I think it was going to be used in the Wonder Woman game. But of course, that got cancelled as well. As well as the studio, was the studio cancelled that was good? I think they
Yeah,
were.
well, studio is part of WB, so a good chunk of it's gone.
It was either disbanded or something like that. But I'm curious on this because that was a thought. I know I never said this on a podcast, but because I never played that much of the Shadow games, I just didn't quite click with them. But whenever somebody described them and the idea, they always sounded quite cool. It's kind of interesting that nobody, now lawsuits can be a thing and whatever, that nobody tried to look at that yet and go, right, let's try to build something similar. But maybe it would have been a bit too on the nose of sort of, okay, you're kind of copying this idea or whatever. But that is something that they should try to license out as well, because it's something that could feed into a lot of games, right? The Nemesis system. So I'm curious on how that would have worked. So yeah, anyway, what do you think on these three particular details? How do you think they might have fit together for this game?
I think they would have fit together very well. As for nobody ever using it, that's because Warner Brothers copyrighted it in 2021, and that copyright remains valid until 2035. So not until another
Jeez.
10 years
Yeah.
can anybody even start on it, which pisses me off to no end, because it is an amazing concept of a combat system to where, you know, you've got all these monsters and they all have different agendas, and you lose a fight and that actually promotes a monster. They get like a special ability that's random. They get a nickname that's random, but usually based on their ability. It's like these, you know, to be, you know, Gorfang the Scorched, and he can't be affected by fire and things like that. So as it's one of those things that, yeah, you do kind of got to get into the game, but there's so much video out there of people doing it. You know, yeah, at bare minimum, you could watch like a 20-minute YouTube video and just see, and then see that into any kind of other IP. I always bring up Batman because that one's a, that makes the most sense.
Yeah, certainly.
You know, year one Batman, street level thugs, they start going up in ranks.
Yeah, definitely. That would be good. But yeah, that's the information we have at the moment, and who knows when we'll hear or maybe see more someday. So it's good that, like, I think I said this at the time when we talked about the cancelled game, that we, at least we have another Black Panther game in development. That's what kind of, not upset me, that's what kind of frustrated me about the Wonder Woman stuff. It's like, well, there's actually nothing else on the horizon, apart from the other week when James Gunn said he has a Wonder Woman film in development, but who knows when we see anything from that. That's another 3 to 5 years, probably. But, like, for the character of Wonder Woman, for example, we're not going to see her for a while, unless there's like a surprise cameo in some upcoming DC film, not Superman, but like something. So yeah, we'll see. All right, let's move on to, this is very, very much rumor mill, so take every single thing I'm about to read with a grain of salt, but there was too much information here to not go through and at least be curious about. That's what podcasting's about, right? Being curious about things. This comes to us from an account called GTA 6 Countdown, which, again, some of you might think, like, hey, why are you bothering reading this or whatever? It's just because it's interesting and, it, you know, it's just fun to read out. All right, I'm just going to start reading and we'll just go through. It says, alleged GTA 6 story that was cancelled by Take-Two for being too dark in 2016. There's a lot of years that are mentioned in this, so just keep those things in mind. 2016. So that would have been 3 years after the release of GTA 5 on, yeah, PS3. My God. Yeah, geez. Can you believe that there was no new Grand Theft Auto game on the PlayStation 4? That's pretty wild.
Well, I had a reality check the other day. This year is the 45th anniversary of Pac-Man and the 50th anniversary of Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Damn.
I've been alive for both of those. Fuck, I'm old.
There we go. But yeah, there was a story, a GTA 6 story that was cancelled by Take-Two for being too dark, which is interesting for GTA, in 2016, led by Dan Houser, who left Rockstar Games after years of rewrites, consistently rejected by Take-Two. A police crime plot worthy of a thriller that featured three protagonists, an old cop, his troubled son, and the right-hand man of a Colombian drug lord. That's quite a combination of characters. The cop is principled, but he gradually descends into organized crime in a desperate effort to protect his son, who is struggling with drug addiction. The son, a devout Cuban-American trying to escape his addiction and the dangers of the drug trafficking world. The drug lord's right-hand man imports narcotics into the US through Vice City, which, of course, a very notable GTA location, with ambitions to build his own empire in North America. This version, codenamed Project Americas, started development in 2014, so the year after GTA 5 came out, before getting cancelled and rebooted in 2016. So, there we go. First reboot was in development for 18 months and got cancelled in mid-2018. Less dark time with two protagonists, a female police officer and a drug smuggler's right hand. The police, this female police officer is a daughter of a Vice City cop who was killed in the line of duty. She seeks personal revenge by infiltrating the local underworld and taking it down illegally while still serving as a cop. So, like a cop storyline there. The drug smuggler's henchman is wild and unpredictable, like Trevor from GTA 5, who gradually climbs the ranks throughout the story. This version, codenamed, that's the same screenshot. Let me just see here. This second reboot was only in development for a few months. The plot was similar to the first reboot, but this time the grieving female cop was replaced by an African American man, a former soldier recently released from prison, who falls into the criminal underworld. There's a little bit here that I didn't actually manage to screenshot, but that's the next paragraph. There's another separate piece here. I'll just read this as well. It says Take-Two Interactive Software Incorporated, after an extended break, beginning in the spring of 2019, Dan Houser, Vice President Creative at Rockstar Games, will be leaving the company. Dan Houser's last day will be March 11th, 2020. We're extremely grateful for his contributions. Rockstar Games has built the most critically acclaimed and commercially successful game world, a global community of passionate fans, and an incredibly talented team, which remains focused on current and future projects. A fourth version, led by Sam Houser, was approved by Take-Two at the end of 2019, so 6 years ago, and full development began in early 2020, which, in and around COVID and all that sort of thing. Featuring Jason and Lucia, so the two current main characters that we have, inspired by the romantic outlaw story of Bonnie and Clyde, the most notorious criminal couple and bank robbers in American history. Says this info comes from Fravalis's internal sources, a former Rockstar magazine chief editor who previously revealed exclusive details about the new version of the Rage engine. Then there's a couple of articles listed, and then that says the same thing there. So let's assume for a moment this is all true, which a lot of this is believable. Things like this do happen across things, like ideas get pitched, they get changed or rebooted or whatever. Or you hear sometimes about, I find it mostly with films I hear about this kind of stuff, where it's sort of, we had this idea, maybe something happened with an actor, and then the actor was maybe an important part of a film, so they got like written out or something like that, or like somebody got recast. There's a whole bunch of different kind of things like that happen. Or there's sometimes things where, let's say two studios are like sharing rights to things. So let's say we're like Sony and Marvel with some of those films. And this isn't a specific example, this is a hypothetical example. Let's say Marvel goes like, right, we want to do this for Spider-Man, like with the Spider-Man film. And Sony goes, no, we don't want you to, because we're doing this, out and the other. And then Sony tries to do something with a Spider-Man film, or a Spider-Man-less film, as they say, and then they can't do something because of something Marvel's doing. So you have clashes like that. And I've heard a lot of different stories over the years about similar things like that. So it's interesting, and I get that there's the whole meme kind of thing about, like, okay, because GTA Online has made so much money, they've been sitting around just letting it collect it, which they kind of have in a way. But this does all show this does also show that this game seemingly went through, what, three reboots? Because I think there's three different versions of a story that I've read there, and they've landed on the Lucia, what was the names again? Lucia and
I don't
Jason,
even remember.
which is the two characters that we do actually have in the trailers that actually exist. So again, it's interesting when you hear about like a big name leaving a company. Obviously, these Sam Houser and that, or obviously like the two massive names. And it's funny when something like that in the industry happens, and people always automatically assume bad blood. It reminds me of when Last of Us came out, the first one. Of course, Neil directed it, and then Bruce did. He like kind of co-directed it, but in a different way. And that came out, and those two were like, the main two heads of it. And then in and around like 2017, Bruce left for whatever reason, but then he went on record and was like, "Hey, we made this really great game. Neil's great. Loved working with him. Fantastic story." But sometimes people do just move on from things. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes there is bad blood, and it's kind of have to move on. If you look at, of course, like the Amy Henning EA thing, she was trying to make like a certain Star Wars game, I think the 1313 thing, and had a fallout. She left, or whatever happened, and then you've got to move on and do your own thing. So, it's interesting that, because again, even if you look in and around 2013, 2014, right, and sometimes you look at these big companies, let's say two examples, let's say like HBO and let's say Rockstar, and you look at like Red Dead and GTA, and then of course HBO, you look at things like The Wire, Game of Thrones, and those are two kind of places where you would look at their stories that they tell, and like, right, you two can kind of tell, the two of you can tell any stories that you want. It doesn't matter how violent they are. And it's interesting that now and again, like, okay, if you look at something like a GTA game and you think like, okay, for violence, let's say nothing's really off the table, right? Because it's GTA, people kind of expect that sort of thing. I mean, if you just even just look at Trevor himself, like how incredibly violent he is and all that sort of thing. And then you look at, let's say, HBO with Game of Thrones, people being beheaded and stabbed and all kinds of stuff. And you kind of automatically assume that those two are kind of like violence is just permanently on the table, no matter the story, because you don't need to hold back. It's interesting reading that with this GTA story that was like it was considered to be too dark. And maybe there's more specifics there that we don't know about. Maybe there's a certain thing in the story that was just too far, or maybe we'll never know. But then there was also things like with HBO, where they rejected The Walking Dead when it was first, being shopped around, and they said that was too violent, which is interesting because that then went to AMC, where it was not really toned down, but there was no like F-bombs and things like that. And then they ended up running Game of Thrones. So, sometimes these companies do make these choices where you go like, hey, but you've got this, so how come you wouldn't do this or that? Because, violence and whatever. I mostly believe what's going on here. There's nothing in here that really sounds outrageously sort of like it wouldn't happen. And most of these things here I've read out are kind of basic descriptions of we try to put these characters in, this maybe didn't work. So yeah, it was interesting to kind of see about this because yeah, we've been waiting, 12 years for this next GTA game, and turns out there was maybe actually quite a lot going on. I mean, there probably was because 12 years is a long time to have something going on for, right? So, anyway, what do you think of some of this information here about what GTA 6 might have? Again, we stress might have gone through because we don't know if any of this is actually true, but sounded believable enough to where I thought, okay, I'll take screenshots and talk about it on the podcast. Anyway, what do you think?
Yeah, I definitely think of the possibility because they did a movie with a somewhat similar theme of really dark, dark, dark violence from a movie that had a lot of star power and nobody ever heard of, called A Port of Call, Bad Lieutenant, New Orleans. Have you heard of it?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, when I say star power, it's got Nicolas Cage, Eva Mendez, Val Kilmer, the rapper Xzibit, Fairuza Balk, who most people would probably know from either Paradise City or Ray Donovan, Jennifer Coolidge, who you probably recognize her from Two Broke Girls. She was the headmistress at the brothel that was always paraded around as a sex pot joke. And when I say this movie is dark, this is the PG version of the storyline synopsis. After Katrina, Police Sergeant Terrence McDonough rescues a prisoner, hurts his back in the process, and earns a promotion to lieutenant, plus gains an addiction to cocaine and painkillers. 6 months later, a family is murdered over drugs. Terrence runs the investigation. His drug-using prostitute girlfriend, his alcoholic father, runs into two old women and a well-connected John, gambling losses, and a nervous witness and theft of police property put Terrence's job and then his life on the line. He starts hallucinating. He wants a big score to get out from the mountain of debt he's under, so he teams up with the drug dealers to solve the murders.
All right.
That is the PG version of the synopsis.
Okay. A lot going on there. Yeah. But yeah, what do you think of the, like, three reboot things and all that kind of stuff?
Stories get rebooted all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, hell,
Yeah.
you can't get a Disney Plus TV show or a Disney movie out that hasn't been reshot 19 times.
It's true. Yeah.
I think they were reshooting Fantastic Four last month.
But yeah, and especially across like 12 years, there's obviously going to be a lot that's happened. So, but at the end of the day, as long as like, look, I'm sure GTA 6 will at least be a very good video game, right? Unless it, I mean, I don't think Rockstar or Take Two would allow GTA 6 to come out in a bad state, because they know how many eyes is going to have on that thing. I mean, literally, what, hundreds of millions of people have watched the trailers and will know what it is and that.
And they don't really need them. They're not under a financial pressure
no.
to release it because they're still, you know, money print goes brrr for GTA 5 online.
Yeah. Even still. But there's some details on GTA 6 that I came across that I thought was interesting. So we'll see what GTA 6 is like if it does come out next year. I know it's got a release date, but a lot of things have had release dates before that have been delayed. So we'll see what happens over there. My last piece of news is something I weirdly left out, although there wasn't a video in the list of the videos that I scored to on the podcast. Astrobot is getting new levels from, I think the date was 11th of July, and there is, I think the character is called Atsu, if I remember correctly, from Ghost of Yote, is going to be one of the five new bots. I don't know why I missed this or forgot to talk about it on the podcast, but there was a lot of games that we mentioned. That's probably
well, we had so much to talk about.
Yeah, it's true. That's probably the most amount of new games and new trailers we've ever talked about on like one podcast. I mean, I know we've covered like showcases and stuff before, but I don't think
that
we've
was
covered.
That's going back to the old E3 days.
Yeah. So, anyway, within the mix of all that, of course, a new Astrobot trailer, again, 11th of July, with five new levels, probably dropping weekly. I think they were on Thursdays last time, and they dropped at, I think it was 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 Eastern, and 2 p.m. UK time. I think that was the same that has got written down for this time. So who could the four other bots be? There's been some newer speculation on, okay, have they sorted out whatever rift they've got with Square Enix? Because there's no Square Enix bots in Astrobot. And of course, one big glaring list of characters is, of course, from Final Fantasy VII, like Cloud and all those sorts of people. We know one of them isn't, it makes sense, you know, Ghost of Yote is coming out. Death Stranding, of course, because I think I can talk about some of these now, because some of them are quite obvious, and the game has been out nearly a year. So if you've had the interest to talk about Astrobot, you probably know who most of the bots at least are, or at least the you know, obvious ones. Like me saying there's a Death Stranding bot in Astrobot, I don't think is going to be a massive surprise. Like, we've got that game coming out, but that's the Sam's already got a bot in there. Kind of at a point where most of the bots that I, like, you know, whether it was from childhood games or games when I was younger or sort of like newer games, most of the bots I would want to be in Astrobot are already in there. The only one, now this might be the, most of you know what I'm about to say. they only have the young Ellie and the, however old he was at the time, Joel, in there for The Last of Us. Now, I know, obviously, they're looked at as the main two characters because they are, but there's still quite a few characters, and we're talking, you know, main PlayStation, like, you know, first-party Sony IP, because you've got a bunch of Uncharted ones in there, there's a bunch of God of War ones in there, the Horizon ones are in there, they've got, like, yeah, like, again, like Death Stranding, obviously things like, you know, Crash Bandicoot and all those sorts of main ones. But there you could add Sarah, you could add Tommy, you could add Tess. There's a whole plethora of new characters in Last of Us 2 specifically, like Abby, there is Isaac, there's people like Owen, Mel. I could sit here and list a whole bunch of them. Tommy is kind of like, because to me, I kind of consider the main four characters in no particular order to be Ellie, Joel, Tommy, and Abby. I would say those are like, at least for where we are at most of the point in the story, those are kind of like the main four characters. You could add people like Jerry in there. I know he isn't in there for that long, but his character makes a big impact. Adding Sarah would be interesting. Joel's, first daughter. Could add Bill as well. Frank, if you wanted to. So yeah, I just was, because obviously I've, because I like to now and again boot up Astrobot and just kind of mess about in there. Go through the crash site, look at the bots. Be reminded of good times and all that sort of thing. And it's just a bit weird that, like with the Last of Us bit, they got the younger Ellie. You could put older Ellie in there if you wanted to, because they look fairly different. You don't really need to put an older Joel in because he kind of looks similar. But they have like a bit of like a brick thing with like foliage on it, from like the overgrowth and stuff in the world. They have that there, and then they just have those two, and they have an infected as well. There's something else you could do. You could have a different infected there. I think the one they've got is supposed to represent a clicker because it does make little like clicker sounds. Because there's like the bigger infected, you could put one of them in there as well. There's a lot of different. Not that I expect like a bloater to be one of the other four bots. Also, as well, because in between the last update and the new one for Astrobot, we've had the whole of season two. But I don't know. That's those really are the only ones that, like, the glaring kind of bigger ones that aren't there that I'm sort of okay, I can't wait for you to add these characters. Because as I said to you before, when Astro's Playroom came out and Astrobot came out, even when they had things like, the PS5 Pro and the VR2 unit and things, they would go back and update Playroom, because that was like the console collectible ones and the peripherals and stuff. And when they added things like, the more expensive, I can't remember what it's called, like the more expensive PlayStation controller, like they added that in there, and they added the like access controller and other stuff. So they've updated both games very regularly. So I do kind of wonder, with Astrobot, because at some point they do need to, okay, when are we going to turn our resources to our next game? Like that's pretty fair. But like, okay, new characters from Ghost of Yotei, that's going to be in there. Whenever they get whatever sorted out with Square Enix, because there's other Final Fantasy characters as well they could add, or other Square Enix characters as well. Because that's what's so weird about it. Because if you think of like the classic PlayStation characters, and you think of Lara Croft Tomb Raider, who is also in there as well. If that character hadn't been sold to Embracer Group, Lara Croft wouldn't have been in Astrobot, which would have just been weird. Like it's weird enough not to have Cloud there, right? Or any of those characters. And it often gets talked about with Final Fantasy, because obviously you've got a bunch of different sets of characters, that the seven game characters, or the characters from Final Fantasy VII, are probably the most recognizable. Like Cloud, the Buster Sword, there you go. Aerith with her wand thing, there you go. Barret with his great big arm gun, it kind of writes itself almost. And then you could add, like, Clive from 16. Whoever the blonde guy is from 10, or whatever his name is.
Annoying.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever actually known his name, but there's like him, there's other people. If you wanted to be a bit more fun, you could add like the teenage ones or whatever they were from 15, if you wanted to do something fun there. So there's still a whole bunch you could add, but if you were to say, okay, which ones are kind of still weirdly missing that I want in there, it's more people from Last of Us, because they do only have Ellie and Joel in there. So we'll have to see. But because they've added the Helldivers in there, they've added other people. And yet again, just to give Team Asobi more credit, like, you did not have to give us any DLC. Like, you could have just put the main game out, which was brilliant in of itself, and called it a day. I don't think anybody would have moaned at them, or maybe somebody would have, but like, you didn't have to do that. Like, you gave us a massive Christmas level. You've given us, what, two, three, I've lost count of, like, these sets of challenge levels, and now we're getting another one. Interestingly enough, in the video, they still didn't say, here's the final update. Like, these are the five final levels that we're going to be adding. And the director, whose name escapes me, did say this will bring the planets count up to 90. So maybe you do 10 more, maybe you round it out to 100. I don't know what they're going to do. But I do just kind of wonder with Astro's Playroom and Astro Bot, when we get new accessories or new PlayStation characters, are you going to keep going and adding them back to both games? Like a new headset or a new, like, any controller you can kind of think of, or whatever. Yeah, be interesting to see what they do. So, and plus, when we get, like, what will be kind of the next one? Like Wolverine, like, are you going to be able to add, like, Wolverine in there when his game comes out? Or what else first party do they have kind of coming out? You got, like, the character from Hell Is Us that you could add.
Any of the baddies from Spider-Man?
Some of them. I was thinking with Metal Gear's coming out, but those characters are already in there as well. But yeah. So anyway, what do you think of Astro Bot just keeping on doing its thing? More levels on the way.
That's how a company should do it, you know? Respect the fans, respect their time, give them cool stuff.
Certainly. So the fact that we know that, okay, the Ghost of Yote protagonist is one of them. Who do you think the other four could be, depending on if.
Probably from the game. Probably from the Ghost of Yote game.
You think all five of them are from.
Yeah, that would make the most sense.
Okay. Do you think they might have cleared up with Square? I mean, we don't know what the issue actually is.
Well, it could be a mix of characters from Tsushima and Yote.
Maybe, yeah. Because yeah, I'm trying to think at this point. It's like predicting new bots. Who isn't there? That's really obvious. Because even Ubisoft piped up and they added a few characters in. I don't want to spoil those as much because those are a bit newer. But even they added a few characters in. Konami's played well. They've put, like, Silent Hill. They put what's it called, Pyramid Head in. They put Snake in there. I've always kind of wanted, because if they put FIFA in there, they haven't put any COD characters, any GTA characters, or because I know that you could make the argument of, okay, it's meant to be like a family-friendly game, but you do have, like, the Bloodborne Hunter in there. You've got, well, do you have Last of Us characters in there? That's like a violent-rated game. You've got the Silent Hill characters in there. So I don't think, because that's something that's been discussed in the community as well, that, okay, do you want to add a GTA character in there considering the rating of the game? But you have, like, the Bloodborne Hunter person in there, and those are, like, really violent games. So I don't think that's something that's a restriction there, per se.
You got the God of War characters, they ain't polite.
Yes, true. They're ripping heads and cutting people open and stuff. Red Dead's one that you could do as well, if you're gonna do GTA, some Red Dead stuff. Obviously, you've got, like, Arthur, and you've got what's his name, John.
Morgan.
Yeah, you could add those in. Destiny's in there. What was the other one? Because, like, you've got, like, CJ from GTA. Like, you could put him in there. What was the other game I was thinking of? Yeah, like, they don't have FIFA specifically in there, but they have, like, a football person, so that kind of fills that gap.
Put in Ted Lasso.
That would be great. That'd be funny. Yeah. But yeah, we'll see who the other four are. Audience, let us know who you think the other four are gonna be. And do you think I'll be disappointed with no Last of Us character? Not that I'll be, like, annoyed about that or anything, so. We shall see. Anyway, that's all the news and stuff I got this week. How about yourself?
Well, first up, we got an announcement. One of the not fastest growing, but definitely moving on up, but still incredibly niche areas of Twitch streaming is wheel racing. And when I say wheel racing, you have a giant steering wheel, pedals, gear shift, the whole shebang. And for a while now, since 2017, Logitech and McLaren have partnered up for equipment. So Logitech makes the games, and then McLaren sponsors it and whatnot. Well, they just announced they're extending their partnership for in the future, and it'll be curious to see what they do with it. There's no actual list of accessories that we can see with prices. There's the generic stuff in the press release, gaming wheels, pedals, racing seats, headsets, stuff that you would expect that to be, branded with McLaren. A full setup is probably going to cost you like 2 grand, so it's not the cheapest of hobby to have.
Nope.
Have you seen anybody on Twitch playing a race sim?
No, that's not something that's in my circles and stuff. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
Pro Racer lives close to where I live, so every now and then when he's not on the circuit, he'll jump on Twitch and I'll jump on, try to sponsor, try to support the stream, that kind of thing.
Nice, nice.
So he's got a fairly decent wheel setup.
That's cool. I did see this woman whose name escapes me. She likes to play the Soulsborne games, like Sekiro or all that kind of stuff. And I think it was an archive video from a bit ago because she's at a point where she's done the New Game Plus runs and she's really, really, really good at the game. I'll try and scroll through my videos and find a name while you talk again in a minute. And I've seen other people do this, but they get the dance mats out and they try and like, hey, let's try and do not like a no-hit run or something, but they'll try and do like a hard game like a Sekiro or Dark Souls on a dance mat. And it was even interesting just because I only watched like the first kind of part of it because there's going to be quite a lot of it, and even just her explaining because there's things like healing, using the grindstone, parrying, blocking, dodging, attacking, moving forward, and there's a lot of buttons in Lies of P and stuff. Especially when like you're switching between like throwables or healing items or anything like that. And even just her explaining sort of okay, she's got basically like five or six buttons, and she had to come up with like two layouts. So she pressed like something at the top of the dance mat to like shift over to the different controls. And I watched, how much of it did I watch? Maybe like 40 minutes of it or so. I need to go back to it because I was very, very curious about it. And she went through like the first boss and that sort of thing. And that was, yeah, that was quite intriguing to watch. So I like to see things like that, but that's going to be kind of the next one that I watch. Anyway, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just gonna say, like, in terms of controllers, I've seen all manner of weird stuff. I've seen World of Warcraft played with a Kinect. I've seen Dark Souls played with the Nintendo 64, Donkey Kong bongos. You get somebody that can hack a little bit and make a really weird peripheral work with a game it's not supposed to work with. It's amusing, if nothing else.
Plus, you gotta recognize, like, how hard some of these games are playing them normally with the controllers that you're, supposed to. Like if you actually have the ability to like get a different controller or a dance mat or something, something that's not meant to be, and you can actually get through a game, like massive, massive credit to you, because that can't be easy. I think the other one I saw once was someone, I don't know how they programmed it, but probably some way, shape, or form. They were playing Warzone with a flute. And because they had like the different bits at the top, I don't know how they got all the buttons. Because there's again, COD, there's a lot of different, moving and jumping and sliding and shooting and reloading and whatever else. And they managed to get like a headshot. It was like a quick scope headshot on someone, and they were very impressed with themselves, and so they should have been. Because again, even with controller and all the different bits you can do, trying to quick scope with a headshot in normal circumstances is hard enough. So again, if you can do that kind of thing, fair play to you. So.
Might not have been the the buttons on the flute, it might have just been the musical notes.
Yeah, they were doing like the yeah the that bit. So again, fair play for that. But that's cool to hear about. I like to hear about different partnerships and things. That's kind of cool to see, especially when it's two things you really really like and they make something really really good. Just kind of going back to your original story. So that's pretty cool. Apart from when it's, I know you showed me the was it Beavis and Butthead being added to COD, and I was like, okay, cool. That's
Yep.
that's a
That's a thing
thing.
now.
Yeah. So, but there you go. All right, what else you want to talk about?
Well, next up is there's an Xbox branded Meta Quest 3S that is coming out. That was announced about a week ago. So it's moving along with Microsoft's of everything is an Xbox. As reported by Upload VR. The photo of the Meta Quest 3S edition comes from Best Buy employee who leaked the photo. It's what you would expect. It's a, a green colored, green and black colored Meta Quest. Prices are supposedly $399, which is $100 more than the 128 gig model of the 3S, but it still. It's $100 cheaper than the bigger Meta Quest 3. So it's hitting right in that middle sweet spot. And I'm not familiar enough with VR games to know if 128 gigs is a ton of storage or not even worth the effort.
That doesn't
And
sound like a lot of space, but I don't know how big those VR games are,
yeah.
so
In addition, the game is supposedly coming with 3 months of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. So I don't know what games you could play on this because Xbox doesn't really have VR games per se.
First person Gears of War with
Hey,
the
you never know.
yeah, I Gears of War fan. I would try it. It would just be very hectic. So, yeah. Halo in first person would, although a lot of jumping around. I don't know how that. Although I played Iron Man VR in VR, so luckily I don't have that kind of issue. Although I have played some games that just like weren't done well, and it was like, okay, this has given me way more vertigo than what it. I can't remember the names of them because they were probably so long ago. But there are a couple of VR games I tried in the past on my PlayStation 4 VR that was like, well, this is just terribly configured. So that sounds cool. I think I did see a little as you were reading this out, got reminded that I think I saw a little advertisement on this for on the do we still call it the dashboard, whatever it's called now.
Yeah, the dashboard, it's on the announcement trailers on YouTube now, so.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. What do you think, by the way? I know we brought it up a couple of times, but we haven't really discussed it a ton. This idea of this is an Xbox, this is an Xbox. I mean, I don't have a problem with it because, again, as long as the games are good and that sort of thing. But it's an interesting. That's one of their like newer slogan things, isn't it? Like this is an Xbox kind of thing. Again, makes sense with the Ally thing we saw 2 weeks ago, or was it 1 week ago? Whatever. Like that makes sense because that looks like more of just a straight up Xbox handheld. Because that reminds me, there's not much to talk about with it, but there was a trailer for Hellblade 2 coming to PS5, so that's the next one. Although Hellblade 1 wasn't that on PS4 first? But then I don't think they owned Ninja Theory at that point, did they? So that's the next one. Anyway, yeah, what do you think of the whole this is an Xbox thing?
I think it was kind of inevitable, because they've spent so many years pushing X Cloud and gaming on tablets
Yeah, and Game Pass.
that, having a VR headset and, a TV app was just inevitable.
So, we'll see where they go with it next. All right, what else you want to talk about?
We got some interesting news in lawsuits involving AI.
Oh, boy.
Meta Quest won a case against 13 book authors whose work was scrapped by its AI in a summary judgment. Effectively, this means that the case was decided before going to a grand jury. However, it's because the lawyers for the plaintiff didn't submit the right paperwork. Quote from the judge: "This ruling does not stand for the proposition that Meta's use of copyrighted material to train its language models is awful. It stands only for the proposition that these plaintiffs made the wrong arguments and failed to develop a record in support of the right one." The central argument made, according to the judge, was that, I'm guessing Llama, LLAMA,
Think
is
so.
capable of reproducing small snippets of text from their book, and that Llama using the author's work has diminished the author's ability to license their work for the purpose of training large language models. The judge called both these arguments clear losers, as Llama doesn't generate enough text from the plaintiff's book to matter, and the plaintiffs are not entitled to the market for licensing their work as AI training data. The one argument that made the plaintiff, that the lawyer did give credence to, is that scrapping their work could pump the market with similar derivative work. So this gets into the legal weeds. I just find it interesting that we're going to have, and this is not the first AI lawsuit, we're going to have a billion lawsuits with AI. I mean, I'm
Oh,
honestly
this is
shocked.
now permanent. It, like, we're never gonna not have new ones now, really. So,
Yep. I'm
yeah.
honestly shocked that Adobe didn't get hit with like 9 billion lawsuits after that crap they tried to slide in. Did you ever see a news article on that?
No.
So basically, it was in an end user license update that they hid in like section 14, paragraph 9, subsection 2, and it essentially said anything you create with Adobe, we can use to train our AI.
Oh.
And people lost their shit.
Imagine so.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just gonna be part of what we do now. This AI stuff, it's here, it's not going away. If anything, it's just gonna get more and more.
Yep.
Not to bring up Last of Us again, but I have a example. I remember when we were doing the preseason coverage, so like the couple of different previews and all that, and that this was when like more trailers started to come out, and there was actual images I could use because we had new footage and things like that. I remember there was one point when I was doing one of the many podcasts for it, and I simply typed in on Google, because this is all we really do for our thumbnails, is I'll Google the thing that I've just talked about, but then if it's like gaming talk, I'll try to do it as the main thing. So for this week, I might do GTA 6 or Black Panther. I haven't actually chosen yet, but I'll choose something like that, and then that will just be the one th for the main thing.
Yeah, I got a
So
video that I'm going to show you after we're done recording. It's about 15 minutes and it's 100% AI generated. Not a single actor, not a single voice artist. It's all 100% generated and it looks scary good. It's
yeah.
also hilarious. Do you remember in the mid to late 2000s there was that fan trend from the point of view personal vlogs on YouTube where the person was like holding the camera pointing at him and they were just walking around narrating their life.
Yeah, I kind of remember those. Yeah.
Well, they do a series of those. Is one is from the American Civil War, American Revolutionary War
Yeah.
with somebody who was ever below Cornwallis, and then they did that for about 5 or 6 minutes, and then there was one from Washington's perspective. And then they did that for about 5 or 6 minutes. And then it moved into gorilla ASMR. And then it moved into gorilla being journalists covering the riots that are going on over here in the States. And then it gets weird from there. So, but looking at it, you would not think bad AI. And if this
Okay.
is the new standard, Hollywood's been, one foot in the grave, one foot in on a banana peel for years. If people get really good at this, the way this person did that, they're beyond dead.
We'll see, I suppose. As an ASMR listener, Grillo ASMR sounds quite a bad idea because you've got to be gentle when it comes to ASMR. That's kind of
It's
the whole point.
hilarious. He's got the mic right up and he's prepping food. So you got him chopping through like vegetables and cooking an egg and that kind of stuff.
I'm more of a mic brushing person, but anyway, among similar things. What was I actually going to say? Yeah, so when I went to like get an image for that off Google, which again is just a normal thing that I do, and all I searched for was The Last of Us Season 2, because I thought, okay, there's a new trailer out, so there'll be a bunch of, parts or images of that, and I'll just simply pick one of them and do that. And of the first page of the Google results I found, about a quarter of them were all very clearly AI generated. And to call out of channel again, about half of those, quarter of those, were all from Screen Culture, which is a channel that's been getting named a bit more recently. But they post like really blatantly obvious ones, and I don't know why people check out their stuff. And those are ones where it's like, not only from scenes that I know that were in the trailer because they were in the trailer, but scenes that are like, but they're going to be like near the end of season three, and they made like AI images of like they took the a couple of the actors that will be involved in some of the later season three stuff and like made it look like those scenes were in that, which is kind of lying because it's kind of showing like, hey, yeah, this bit which was in the trailer is like is going to be in season two, and it's like, no, we're not going to get anywhere near that. So anyway, those are like some of the things I kind of found. That's the first time that had kind of happened, really, because usually when I Google, again, it could be Crash Bandicoot or any like Pixar film or anything like that, and I'll just get normal image results or whatever. So yeah, I mean, 9 years is a long time to go without seeing a ton of AI stuff. But yeah, that was the first time I was like, wow, there's a lot here. So, but yeah, it's it'd be interesting specifically for court stuff where AI goes, because as much as you can watch an, silly AI video on the internet and you can tell that it is and you do what you do with that, it's more legitimately more dangerous when it's like they select murder trolls or when footage has been mucked about with or anything like that. So, we all need to be very careful. Now, again, AI can be very useful. AI is used to make, in part, some of the video games that we play. That's how some of them literally work. But yeah, we need to be careful with what we do with it, which was, I think, what Stephen Hawking warned us about, which who's like, one of the smartest people that ever lived. And it doesn't seem like we've actually listened to what he had to say. So we might have made a mistake. Anyway, any other thoughts on that?
No, I mean, people are very well versed on the fact that I'm Team Asteroid. But past that, we'll just have to wait and see where it goes from here. Because it's not going away. That genie is out of the bottle.
Definitely. It's never gonna get put back in. So, yeah. All right. What else you want to talk about?
The last thing I have to talk about, I always try to end on a good note when I can, and
Good.
definitely gonna end on a good note. You've heard me never shut up about Clair Obscur Expedition 33. Well, it is not just the game that's doing good, so is the music, which I've also not shut up about. And the game actually set a new record. It is currently number one on Billboard's classical album chart and classical cover crossover chart, which is the first time any video game has been number one on both charts. It's also 13 on the soundtrack album chart and 31 on the official album download chart, with 18 million streams since launch, which was less than 3 months ago. And there
Nice.
are 154 songs in the game running 8 hours and 9 minutes long. And there are so many bangers. And probably my favorite one is when it does like a massive tone shift. It's like, I'm not going to say what happens with spoilers, but you do eventually meet and get a new character in the party. And the character is based off the development team's dog, which had a title of... what is the dog's title? Hang on. Let me look at that up real quick.
I couldn't guess if I tried.
Yeah. Happiness Manager.
Oh, nice.
Yep. And so a lot of the music is very orchestral, very operatic, you know, very just, you know, on the emotions. And then you get into a fight with this character before the character joins the party, and it switches to improv jazz.
Hmm. Sounds cool.
Oh, the character's hilarious. He's like all the best blue mages from the Final Fantasy series.
Hmm.
Like all the good things. Like if you're a Final Fantasy fan, so like take all the good things about some of the blue mages. He casts blue magic. A literal monster can transform into other monsters. But unlike that one character in Final Fantasy, you don't have to eat the monster to get the ability. You just have to be in the party, in the fight, and win it, and then you get the ability, and you get the ability by taking their foot. Because okay. The dog in question liked to sniff and lick feet. And so you actually have the voice actor will see a new monster that they haven't fought before, and they'll go, what lovely feet you have. So out of pocket, so hilarious.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, it's good to hear about this. I have no context for anything you really just mentioned, but that's good.
And what's wild is they found the artist and the composer online, and both the artist and the composer online put it on a share site. Not YouTube, I think it was SoundCloud.
Okay.
And both the composer and the vocalist, this is the first time they put anything of their work on that site, and then the developer found it by random chance, which is so cool as a story.
Yeah. No, all good stuff all around, which, like you said, is good. Nice note to end the news parts on. But yeah, I was curious to play it before, obviously, you even started, but the more and more you've talked about it, it's only wanted to push me closer towards it. Again, like I mentioned earlier with Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, like currently right now, if you said to me, okay, which games that, you know, have released do you want to play right now, I'd either say Death Stranding 2 or Expedition 33, because I now do feel like you know, after the 7 Rebirth bit and Bob and whatever has come and gone, I do feel ready for that next kind of maybe a big game, and both of those games are going to be quite big anyway, but you know, for different reasons. Yeah, the more you talk about it, the more it makes me want to play it. So, whichever one gets sent first, you watch. Imagine tomorrow I get two, because it could happen. Imagine tomorrow I get two emails and I've been sent them both at the same time. I could, because then I'll have to actually choose which one to play first. So, but then I'll have two hopefully very good games on my hand to play. So, but no, music. I've gotten much more into music in games as I've gotten older and sort of appreciate them more. There's a bunch of different songs I've got like fully purchased on my phone. There's music from, you know, Crash Bandicoot, from Last of Us, from Uncharted. I've got the main Frey song from Forspoken that's on my phone as well. I've got I do have the COD, like, is it the lobby music or one of the bits of music from COD games? Because it's not only because, like, okay, these songs are really good, but to me it just brings back, like, nice memories of when I've played those games or any of those kind of bits. I've got the main Cyberpunk theme, so when I'm in the mood for that one, that's there as well. Is it interesting to have those songs on my phone in the mix of, like, Sabrina Carpenter and Dua Lipa and other people as well, but why variety is good to have. So yeah, but I know people that like try and buy like physical versions of some of these songs and things like that, so it's good that people love, because people put a lot of effort into, you know, composing these songs and everything as well. So go on.
I said yeah.
Yeah, they put a lot of effort into that, so it's good that that is doing very well. All right, you said that's all the news bits that you've got. Let's move into some feedback emails. If you'd, of course, like to write into the show about anything we have or anything we haven't said, let us know what you're playing. Are you playing Death Stranding 2? Are you playing Expedition 33? Are you somehow maybe playing them both at the, well, not at the same time, but you know what I mean, at a similar point? If you're playing something else, something different, and who do you think the other Astrobot bots are going to be? We will find out. When is the 11th? Is that in 2 weeks?
2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
Because Monday is going to be the 30th.
I think so.
So the 11th will be next Friday after next.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, any of your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments on all that stuff, matthew@entertainmenttalk.org, social media, eTalkUK or Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. We have four to go through this week. Josh says, going to give Matt some hypothetical Naughty Dog games. You can only choose one. Uncharted 5, Lost Legacy 2, Crash Bandicoot 5, or full Jak 2, 3, and X remakes. I can only choose one of those four games. I'm assuming if I pick Jak 2, 3, and X, that will be one collection of a remaster of games, so I wouldn't have to choose one from one of those. See, I wonder with if Uncharted 5 does happen, which is a possibility, because all of these are a possibility in some way. Although, obviously, if Crash 5 happens, it won't be from Naughty Dog. It'll be from whoever Activision chooses to do that. I think that. How do I say this without spoiling things? I think that if you. And this will be a challenge to do, although Lost Legacy succeeded in that challenge. If you make an Uncharted 5, you've got to leave Nathan Drake alone. Because even when when I recently went through all the Naughty Dog games and that, and of course went through the five Uncharted games, 1 through 4 and Lost Legacy, and even in the end, towards the end of like Uncharted 3, because Uncharted 4 is almost like a different piece to that story. Even towards the end of Uncharted 3, everyone in Nathan's life is telling him, like, okay, if you keep doing this treasure hunting thing, you're going to get yourself killed. And then that becomes like even more obvious in four when there's been like more time that's passed. Him and Elena are where they're at in their relationship, and it's a bit more sort of like he's not a sort of like an old man on the verge of retirement, but he's a bit older. Life is a bit more settled, and he's doing something else. And then of course the taste of adventure grabs him again, but it becomes even more clear on by the end of Uncharted 4 that, like, okay, Nathan, you've got to retire from this life because you again have come very, very close to death. And even though you've escaped, death more than a cat with nine lives, so to speak, it will catch you one day and it will, destroy the people's lives that you love. So I think he can be in Uncharted 5. I don't want to. I don't want to play as Nathan Drake. I don't want him to be. I wouldn't really, and I would trust Naughty Dog to do whatever they want to do at this point, the same way I trust Pixar, but I don't think I want to see an Uncharted 5 game where it's like, oh, Nathan's got the taste again, let's go out again, even though he's almost died again. And again, if they do decide to do that, maybe they'll do it in a way that works, I'm not thinking of, but there was something clearly set up at the end of Uncharted 4 that if you had another mainline game, it's very obvious where you can go next. And I'll just say that doesn't necessarily include Nathan Drake at the forefront, but he could very much play like a mentor kind of role. So there's that. Lost Legacy 2, I would love to see. I would love to hang out with Chloe, Nadine, and if Sam is there again, to hang out with all those characters. I think that could work very well. Crash 5 is a bit of a different one here because it's kind of Naughty Dog wouldn't be doing that. Of course, I'd love a Crash Bandicoot 5. So I kind of almost want to take that off the table out of all these games. The one I'd be the most curious about, because again, there were some mistakes made in Jak 2, and those games are a bit older. And out of all of, Crash got its remakes, including Team Racing, Crash 4 exists. And even though the Uncharted, the first three, could do with a little bit of sprucing up in terms of remaking, remastering. And of course, Last of Us has been through all that stuff as well. Jak is the one that clearly needs that more than their other three series. So out of all four of these, I would probably go with the Jak 2, 3, and X Remix, because those are from the PlayStation 2, and the ones that you can buy of those games on the PlayStation Store, they're ports of those games. So if you're going to talk like full Last of Us Part 1, Part 2 level of, like the tech upgrades and graphics and gameplay and what, if you're going to do that, I would really love you do that with the Jak game. So I would choose that over the other three. Would love all four of them. So yeah. Any thoughts on my choice there? With
Yeah, I'm
those
kind
games?
of in agreement with you. I would do the Jak and Daxter, just because it's been the farthest removed from games, so it's the one that could, benefit the most from it.
I agree. And out of their main four, and again, Crash isn't really in their control anymore. Jack's the one that's been, because I'm assuming you didn't include Jak and Daxter, because I said I would never play that game again because I had a perfect experience when I played that game properly recently and I got the platinum, and I put a nice bow on my time with that game. Of course, it would make sense that if you do remake the games, you would do all four of them. But I, again, not in a bad way. I don't want to play Jak and Daxter ever again just because I've put my own nice bow on that. So I'm assuming that's why you didn't include that in these ones. But yeah, it's the one that's been left behind, kind of the most. Like Crash got its remake treatment. Last of Us has obviously been treated very well. Uncharted's had its own thing. Although I do think Uncharted 1 through 3. Because 4 and Lost Legacy did get PS5 versions. It's called the Legacy Collection. Those are that's the collection that I actually bought to play those two when I most recently went back. So yeah, that's my very long answer to that. Haley says there's so many rumors about a new PS6 and next Xbox in 2027. Do you think that's when they get released? And any thoughts on getting titles big enough to come out for them? I've seen that as well. A lot of 2027 talk, because you've got to remember, but that by that point the PS5 will be 7 years old. It doesn't feel remotely like we're near the end of the generation yet. 2 years is still 2 years, and that will be here before you know it. But it's like I've said before, I just don't like with the current state that we're in with gaming, and some people do think gaming is very doom and gloom right now, and I don't quite agree with that. I just think there's been too much live service stuff this generation. I don't know how releasing, let's say, a PlayStation 6 fixes that. Because then you'll still have the same, unless there's other games currently in development for PlayStation 6 that we don't know about, right? I mean, there's probably a lot of games in development that we don't know about yet, because that's how that works. I just don't know. Like, for example, a game that we know that's pretty far out, or two games that we know that are fairly far out, like GTA 6 and, let's say, Intergalactic and things like Wolverine, those are all pretty sure going to be PS5 games. Now, those games will probably get PS6 versions. But those are like, okay, Naughty Dog's next game, Rockstar's next game, then Wolverine, Insomniac's next game, the next big kind of superhero game. You could also include the Rise of Hydra thing, that's going to be a next big game. All those are going to be PS5 games. So, I don't know, it feels like we need, I feel like we need like another 3 years or so. Like, push the PS6 to like 2030 and get past the next couple of years of games and then see where we're at, I think. Anyway, what do you think of that idea?
Well, I honestly can't think of a game that I would really say defined the current generation of what we have. I mean, on the PS5, you do have like Forbidden West, and what was the Returnal, I think it was. I mean, those are decent enough games, but you look at the 360 era, you got Halo 3 and Gears of War and whatnot, and you look at the the other eras, and there was always like one or two big games that define everything, and this isn't just a PlayStation thing. I honestly can't think of a game on Xbox that would define this is the Series X game for this generation.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Yep.
So, because this generation has just been a bit weird, I think, as well. A lot of just live service, which again is when like that Splitgate 2 thing came up. I'm like, why are we still making these games? If you remember that whole thing.
And then we've gotten so many really, really good double A games like Split Fiction, we got a couple more coming out here real soon that don't need the big boss hardware. And the PS5 Pro came out and nobody really cared outside the scalpers, and they lost money, which that's fine by me. And you had very, very marginal system of quality of life updates. Say what you will about the Series X, but that quick resume, that's honestly what
I
defined.
really wish my PS5 had that. I really do.
Yeah, that defined that generation hardware was the quick resume, especially me, a State of Decay 2 addict. The load screen was reduced by 80%, which is huge. And it's, it's that's the only thing that really defines it. I'm not going to be mad if Sony comes out with a PlayStation 6 or whatever they name what supposedly is called Xbox Prime for the next generation. I'm not going to be mad at them for doing that. I'm probably just not going to buy it. Just like I haven't bought a Switch 2. I have no need or reason to buy that platform.
No. I th just to be clear, I think it will be 2027 because that's what it feels like, but I don't know what that looks like right now. Because it's even like other big games that, like you mentioned Returnal, like House Monk's next game, which I can't remember the name of. That's going to be PS5. So yeah, I don't know. Anyway, we'll see. And then Reese, is this next one? Yes, Reese says, "Hey guys, I like that the two of you are different ages and from different places, but I'm writing in as a fellow old git to say I feel everything about old age you talk about," I think is obviously referring to you, "sending my best to both of you." Yeah, I mean, not only that, but we also play very different games as well. I mean, I'm about to try to play the same game that you are very soon, but 99% of the podcast where it's like, "Hey, what have we been playing?" have been completely different games every time. So I think that's very good as well.
I had a birthday recently, and when people ask me how old I am, I say I use the seat warmer in my car for my bad back old.
Right. Barry says that he relates to here. So what else did he say? I'm writing yeah, about old age and stuff, which I can't relate to that stuff yet. I can relate to being tired, but I think most people can. But that's a different thing to like being, well, the old, is it just the older you get, the more easily tired? Is that how that like works? I guess so.
The more you want to take a nap, the more the joints hurt, which doesn't help feeling feeling fresh, refreshed out.
Yeah. So it's interesting when you mention stuff like that, and I know this is a bit of a different thing, but when they talk about like footballers and the retirement age for a footballer is between like 35 to 40, and I still remember, and it, but the more I found out later in life about, okay, getting older and how that wears you down in certain ways or whatever, and I look back on Ryan Giggs being 40 years old in central midfield, which is the position that you'll be running around the most in, running around like he's still 21 in midfield. And the more, again, the more older I get and learn about being tired and older age and stuff, the more and more I'm impressed by that. Because there's certain players that are much younger than him that aren't anywhere near as fit, couldn't run anywhere near as fast. And you're talking in a 4-4-2 formation where the two in midfield have got to, like, hold it down, let's say, and he was still playing the same way since he was like 30-ish, just running around, pinging the ball around, and yeah, that just gets more impressive the more I kind of think about that. So
Yeah, and half of it is your genetics, just what you were naturally gifted with, and the other half of it is a combination of how hard you train and how well you take care of your body. Because I don't know if you've seen some of these people, like if you look at Ozzy Osbourne, you can tell he partied hard. but then you look at somebody that's, you know, not about his same age, but didn't do all that, and you're like, damn, you could pass for 40.
But there you go. All right, then the last one is Harry says, hey, fellas, been listening for a few months. Welcome.
Thank you.
I have an 11-year-old son who games I have an 11-year-old son. Which games and consoles can you recommend and any co-op games? Which console should you get? So I'm going to go on the assumption that he doesn't have or shares games with you, or you want to get him his own thing, it sounds like. I'll say like a base PS4, I think. I think that's... yeah, don't get him a Switch 2. I always say that. There's seemingly no need for one. I heard they only launched with like one new game or something. And no one's really
There's like three
about
or four
it.
Games, but all the third-party games did not sell well.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't think a third-party game made it into the top 20 for sales.
Yeah, it's a weird situation. I would say PS4, I would still think that... because there's still a lot of cross-gen games that have been newer that have come out and stuff like that. In terms of what games to recommend, obviously there's a good amount of co-op games out there. You just mentioned Split Fiction a while ago. Obviously, those Joseph Ferris EA games are very good with that. It Takes Two and A Way Out. I always find it difficult when, like, okay, you said your son's 11, so that puts him in a certain ballpark of, okay, how much violence is okay or good, but then some kids are a lot better with that than other kids. Plus, also, like, because I was, when I first read this, I kind of thought, like, okay, what about if, now again, I know absolutely nothing about your son, so I don't know what they do and don't know about whatever. I was going to say, if you want to get them a game that will not, you know, give them lessons or teach them stuff, but will teach them about empathy. Because empathy, I think, again, the older that I've gotten, not that I'm old, but as I've gotten older, about how important empathy is, I was going to recommend Liza P. Now, some of you might be thinking that, okay, that game's way too hard, even though they just added an easier difficulty, so that might make it better. I still remember about, might have been about 5 or 6 years ago now, when my niece and nephew came around, they came to visit and that, and they were playing Fortnite, and they were way better than I expected them to be. So maybe, I kind of feel like, especially for a game like Fortnite, and like reflexes and things like that, I feel, and this is just my kind of guess as I've gotten past that age, I feel like your reflexes peak from about like 11 to what, like 25, maybe? So again, it's a game where it's like, okay, parrying's involved and things like that, but ever since I witnessed that, of like, oh, I for some, you know, stupid reason assumed that, okay, because she was younger than me, that I would be quote-unquote better than her. And she was kicking my ass in the game, and that was, you know, fair play and all that, so... don't underestimate how good young people are at games, is what I'm saying. So I think that, yeah, because of what the story is with that, and like the whole idea of puppets and humans and how much humanity can they feel, and there's the whole truth lie mechanic, and plus it's just a very, very good video game anyway, and there's a lot of cool stuff. And it's not like, because I was trying to think of it and think, okay, is it inherently very violent? There's a lot more violent games I can think of than Lies of P. You'll, like, see stuff in the game, but it's not... like, when I think of the game, and there's a lot of things I think about when it comes to Lies of P because of what that game did for me, violence is not one that comes across in my mind. So, but what you could do, as his dad. There's a demo, I think it's still both on the PlayStation Store and on Xbox. You can try it yourself and, like, do the parent thing, judge it for yourself if that's something that you want to do as a free demo. I think it's still in the PlayStation Store. Because I think if you click on Lies of P and then you can click on version and click on demo. So if you're, curious about that, maybe check that out. And again, if it's easier for, well, either of you, because you might want to play the game as well, they did just add an easier difficulty level, which might make things a bit smoother. Plenty of co-op games, like we said, the Joseph Farah stuff, which might be quite good. But yeah, just again, a lot of there's a whole bunch of games that I would consider like top 5, top 10 games. That you could still play on PS4, so that's kind of, and I'm probably saying the PlayStation because I'm more familiar with that ecosystem, so that's a rough ballpark where I'd aim for. But again, as a parent, browse the store, see what you think is and isn't good for your child, because obviously you know more about yours than what I know about them, which is absolutely nothing. Anyway, Robert, what would you recommend?
Well, in terms of console, I would recommend finding a physical store that lets you put hands on the controller, because that's going to be the biggest thing when it comes to long-term playability in the game itself, is how comfortable is that controller. I mentioned this a lot with the PS3. I know there were some really good games on the PS3, but I was always nervous playing them because the controller was so cheap. And so plastically, I was afraid that I'd sneeze too hard and just snap the damn thing in half. Obviously, the PlayStation 4 controller is a bit more durable, a bit more robust, but it's also a bit more smaller for my hands. The standard 360 now Xbox controller has always just fit better in my hands. That's why I tend, when I play games that are better on better on controller. I tend to play it on my Xbox. It's like I've been playing Expedition 33 on my Xbox, even though I do play a lot of PC games and I would like to get the upped graphics, but I kind of have a controller that works on my PC, but doesn't do a great job. There's a bit of lag in it, and lag is your death in that game because they're so precise with the dodging, parry, jumping, gradient mechanics. And this isn't like other, JRPGs, like, oh, I missed it. Oh, I got hit. No real big deal. You will get your face knocked out if you. I've been one-shot before with bosses just because I missed a dodge. Like, straight up, boom, you're dead. Boom, you're dead. Boom, you're dead. As in terms of games, there's so much to do. If you've not played any console games before, it's a weird recommendation, but one I always recommend is Peggle, because in terms of using the controller, it's very easy. You move left, you aim right, you drop the ball, you watch it bounce around. In terms of gameplay, it's very challenging because you get into angle reflection geometry trying to hit all the pegs you need to hit to progress to the next level. But past that, there's tons of branded games for kids that age. There's a ton of SpongeBob stuff, a ton of Bluey stuff, a ton of Paw Patrol stuff. If you're looking for a game, can't really go wrong with Stardew Valley. Very popular game. Again, very easy in terms of controllers, but not just, baby ass baby game, for lack of a better phrase. It's a game that it can get really challenging, but not in terms of how do I do this move. And then, of course, you got all the Lego games. If you want to get them a little bit more advanced stuff, there's all the racing games that you can still use the controller. And as long as you don't get into the minutiae of car tuning and whatnot, it's a really fun genre of games. And then there's easy platformers and whatnot. But again, first thing I would do is look at controllers and see what fits best.
True, True. Also Astrobot as well. Astro's Playroom. I know I said PS4, didn't I? If you did get a PS5, although Astro, what was the first one called? Rescue Mission, which you'd need a VR thing for. Can you get on the PS4? But what I was gonna say is if you did pick a five PS5, Playroom is completely free. So, and that's obviously a lovely, lovely, delightful little platformer game. I recommend the whole. Is it a trilogy? Is it a trilogy of those? Obviously, things as well like Crash Bandicoot, as well. Because the Insane trilogy is a PS4 game, and yeah, Crash 4 and Team Racing are as well. So, I mean, those are the ones that I started on. So,
I
yeah, I feel
started
like
on Pong.
we get. Yeah, I feel like we both gave very different recommendations. So again, pick all those and do what you will, and let us know how you get on. Yeah, you can always, if you play single player games where you can die. So let's say something like a Crash Bandicoot, or if you did do the Liza P thing, I recommend you could do like a pass the pad thing, which I think on Crash 4 you can actually. It will like track your stats. It does something like that, so you can do that as well. And another thing, if you do, let's say one of the harder games that we recommended, if one of you dies to a boss, the other one tries it, you figure out together. There's a lot of different things you can do. So let us know what you end up landing on. And if you think my Liza P ridiculous thing is ridiculous, then that's fair, I suppose. So, what was the thing I was going to recommend? For TV shows, now this is going to seem a bit outrageous, but as somebody who's seen the series and knows what it's trying to do, now I wouldn't recommend you get yourself to watch this on their own, not because it's inherently bad or violent or whatever. I think it's genuinely very important. If you've got Netflix, go and watch Adolescence, particularly if you are in the UK, because it's a very UK-centric thing on what's going on in the country. That's not something, by the way, to just. Hey, let's stick this on. Read about what the series is about. Watch a trailer for it. Find it. There's a lot of information about the series, but it's not only an incredible show, but because when I was talking about that show on the podcast, and I did say, because the situation that the main character is involved with is the current situation in the UK that teenagers from about 11 to 18 are involved in.
Same over here with a lot of the teens.
With like with crime and things. So again, that's not a sort of hey, that's not a sort of let's relax together and spend time together. That's a sort of if you want them to do watch something more serious. But out of all the things we recommended, if you do get your son to watch Adolescence on Netflix, do watch that with him because you can also talk about it and it's all that kind of thing.
Yeah, I
So.
would definitely watch the first couple of episodes of that without him, just so you can get into a headspace of how the show's presenting everything.
That's a good idea actually. Yeah, there's only four episodes. They're about an hour. They are all one shot, which is very impressive. But again, do your own kind of research on it first, and things like that. So, because things like you sitting down, if you go to play Crash Bandicoot with him, is going to be very different to going and watch like Adolescence or whatever. So, there we go. All right, that's what we've got for you for this week. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see what gets announced, cancelled, if an NDA drops, if we see any Black Panther footage. I doubt it, but you just never know what you're going to see in these day and ages. So, anyway, join us next week. By the way, this shouldn't be. I know this year we have had kind of like miss a week here, miss a week there, this thing happening, that thing happening. We shouldn't have any more, or I guess it's been more down to my stuff. We shouldn't have any more interruptions. I don't want to say for the rest of the year because there's still half of the year left. Oh my God, we're halfway through the year. There isn't anything on the immediate horizon that should be getting in the way of this particular podcast. So, don't hold me to that because anything can happen in life. But we should be fine from now on. So. Anyway, if you'd like to support what we do, you can of course go to entertainmenttalk.org and check out our podcast for TV, games, films, Man United podcast. Of course, if you're into the United cast ones, I did do the season wrap up recently and the Who Should Stay, Who Should Go. That's going to be put back on the shelf until August because I don't want to talk about the team anymore. So check that out. Film reviews, more of them should be coming soon. Again, TV stuff is happening, gaming talk, eventually some video game reviews when I actually finish a new video game. Although I did recently review Seven Rebirth, so check those out. And then, of course, all of our other podcasts as well. So please support what we do by checking them out, listening to them, and using word of mouth social media. And, of course, if someone mentions something we podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers. Ad-free podcast review options up there as well if you'd like to. TV and film news. Geektown Radio is on a bit of a hiatus right now because David is going on holiday, but you can listen to the most recent one, which I believe was last week. There will still be TV and film news getting posted on geektown.co.uk, so if you're missing Geektown or whatever, you can still read about new news stories for TV and film news on geektown.co.uk. That will be off for Geektown Radio, I think, will be off for a couple of weeks, and then David will come back when he comes back. So look out for all that. You can also find us on YouTube, Entertainment Talk Plays, for all of our video game stuff. And once I can actually figure out what I'm playing next and play a game, I might do more streams and clips and other things. So stay tuned to everything we do by Entertainment Talk. Anyway, thanks very much for listening, and we'll be back next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.